This is the city council meeting. It's Monday, November 23rd, 2015, 7 p.m.
Welcome you to tonight's November 23rd Othello regular city council meeting. We all please rise. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to meet and assemble. I pray tonight that your wisdom would be given to us and to this community and the decisions that we make. And I just pray for your blessing upon this entire city. In Jesus' name, amen. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
We'll move to item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call, and we have Eugene Bain out of town and Angel Garza. Both council members are out of town, so at this time I would entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This time I'd entertain a motion to excuse Eugene Bain from tonight's proceedings.
Make that motion. Second it.
Motion made and second to excuse Councilman Bain. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tonight, we'll move to item 1.4, citizen input, and we have the pleasure of having Dean Avitsky with us tonight. The citizen input portion of the city council meeting is where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council with any item that they wish. All you need to do is raise your hand and I'll recognize you. You can come to the step to the microphone. You'll have up to 5 minutes to address the city council, and you'll need to state your name and address for the record. So we have one citizen, Dina Bisky, who's made an appointment. So Dina, would you please come forward?
All of you officials, this is so cool. I've never been here, and this is awesome. My name is Dina Zitsky. I live at 830 East Larch Street, and I would like to thank you all for the opportunity to speak with you on the passion I have for raising a few pet chickens. Chickens are pretty quiet little pets. Besides a little cackle here and now with the egg song, when they lay an egg, they just let all their friends know their great accomplishments. We have all heard the saying, gone to bed with the chickens. Well, it's because they go into their coop at sundown. Right now it's about 4 o'clock, and sleep all day or all night long without a peep. Any cackle you might hear from a neighborhood chicken might be about 6 minutes a day with 3 chickens, and from the hours of sunup and sundown. I wish we could talk a few neighborhood dogs into the same sleep pattern. Chicken manure can be added to compost and tilled into a vegetable garden with flowers and shrubs, and it does not smell. It can be composted and turned into dirt. Cleaning up chicken manure is just as easy as cleaning up after a dog. Chickens are also wonderful with little eating up all the bugs and the weeds, and yeah, the opportunity of grabbing a red tomato out of your garden. Chicken loves all kinds of leftovers, and so that nothing goes to waste. I have spoken to over 100 community people, and I have only found 3 other families who would be interested in raising pet chickens. If they were to pass, the winter would be really accommodating for new pets, and they'd be ready for chicks in the spring. This would be a great opportunity for kids in the town to get involved with 4-H and the Adams County Fair. Everybody else I talked to said they don't have a problem with chickens in the neighbor's backyard, but they aren't interested in raising them themselves. I've talked to 4 other communities, Carrie and Ephrata, Heidi and Ellensburg, and they've all had 0 complaints. They have no idea how many chickens are in the community because they don't have any kind of permit I've also talked to Anthony in Kirkland, and I got an email from him. He says, "We treat them as pets and allow all homeowners to have a maximum of six pets, which is like three dogs or three chickens, or three chickens, two dogs, and a cat, or one dog, one chicken, one cat, one duck, one rabbit, or one pigeon." I think that our proposal that's been given has been really strict, and I like that. I think it's a great proposal. So having chickens is something I've enjoyed in the past, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. Chickens are very easy, inexpensive pets with benefits. Their eggs have 1/3 less cholesterol, 1/4 less saturated fat, 2/3 more vitamin A, 2 times more omega-3, 3 times more vitamin E, and 7 times more beta carotene than store-bought eggs. So with that, I would like you to consider changing your no votes to yes votes.
Thank you, Dina. Hold on. Council, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Oh, Dina. That was on here. I was supposed to ask. Do you have any questions?
Dina, my understanding, there was a petition going around for a while.
Oh,
with signatures.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have about 100 and close to 150 on my petition. I really thought about, do I want to go stand out in front of Walmart and really push this to get to 250 to 500? And I decided I didn't want to really do that, that I actually took the time to speak to people and ask them their opinions. And I also showed them the proposal that we have that I got off the city council website, and so that they could look at it and not just write their name down from some lady asking them to sign this petition.
Yeah, John?
Yeah, I just one comment in your statement here tonight before the council. You state that chickens eat bugs and things like that, but in the ordinance it says that the chickens are to be housed in a coop.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they get out and eat the bugs?
If you have a run, is what it's called, so your chickens have a run that's attached to a coop. So when you come home at night and you have a fenced backyard, you let them out and they can go around your yard and pick up the bugs and the weeds and go through whatever, as long as you have a fenced yard.
So they're clipped, they can't fly?
No, they're fat. They can't fly.
Okay.
What health protections are there against the avian flu?
I'm not really sure. If they're free range, it's when they're cooped up in cages that they get ill. As far as running around and being able to be free, not cooped up in cages, that's the problem. That's been the problem that we've watched on the news of all these chicken houses that they've had to kill off and stuff. It's because they're not free range and pastured.
Okay. The petition that you had signed, is that 150 people from in-town people?
No. It's the community.
So it's not, how many of those people actually live in town?
I don't know. But as a community, I meant if somebody lived out of town but worked in town.
Well, where I was coming from, 150 people, if there's 150 people that actually lived in town, that would be one thing. But people that don't live in city limits, they've got their own, where they can be doing it themselves.
Right. I think pretty much most of them are. I would have to go through and look right at them.
But it says here that the no portion of any run shall be within 10 feet of any property line unless the property line abuts an alley.
Right.
And in town, if you're considering a fenced backyard, a run,
no,
and you're allowing chickens out, They're going to be right up next to your neighbors.
Where is the run and the coop?
Okay, so is there a separate fenced-in area?
You could have that.
Well,
yes, definitely.
I'm trying to get clarification on the ordinance that's being proposed, because
mm-hmm.
you're asking for everyone to change their no votes to a yes vote. And what exactly are we talking about when we're talking about a run? Is that the whole of the backyard, which will be within 10 feet of the property line?
No, I think...
If it's a fenced in backyard...
Maybe Heather could put a clarification on this. Back on May 5th, we asked our department heads to go back and bring us a, I know, an ordinance, so we could review it by the council, and I think this was part of that ordinance that you wanted to bring back to propose to us. So maybe Heather could have some clarification on that for us.
Okay.
So it's designed basically not for the chickens to be free roaming in the backyard, they are to be kept in an area that coop and they're run, and both are supposed to be predator-proof. So they should be in an enclosure, not running free even with a fenced backyard. Some do apply, depending on what variety you have. I ran into a couple, I had, they're actually called turkeys, they're a cross between a turkey and a chicken, they were pretty large, and they could fly, they got out of their backyard, but I was able to catch them, and of course, the owners took them out of town to different locations, but the intent is the coop and the run should be housed separate, you know, the 10 feet to 25 feet from the neighboring properties.
Okay, so they basically can't let them run wild in their backyard?
Correct, they should not.
Okay.
No, I would never let my chickens run wild. That makes sense.
They have a 50-foot setback where the coop is. Coop shall be at least 50 feet from any neighbor dwelling and 10 feet from any property line. So depending on, you know, some houses are closer to the fence than others, you have to make sure.
About the majority?
I thought it was 15.
Majority of houses can't get 50 feet from a house, can they?
Okay, right, right.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard.
So in the statement of 612060, prohibited, they can't make a continuous incessantly amount of noise for 20 minutes or more?
Correct.
So you...
Occasionally, through research that I've done, you can get a chicken that can be more vocal than others, but generally speaking, like Dina had said, they do a little, what they call a chicken song, and when they lay that egg, it's the only time that they generally make any sort of noise. With that being said, I put that in there, you know, with my research, just so if you do get that nuisance chicken or something like that, you know, I can tell people, hey, you want to come at egg, if you will. If you get rid of that one, and you get one instead of it, I'm not going to be as vocal.
Okay. How long are you going to give them to do so?
Generally, I give people a week, with dogs and everything, you know, we try to educate, we try to tell them, you know, this is our ordinance, this is why, this is a complaint that I received, and we need to make sure that we're keeping the neighbors happy. You have your right for one thing, but they have their right also. So then a week generally, if I have a problem in town and it's not taken care of, then we take the next step from the fraction of 20 minutes.
Okay, you classified it as a C-11 penalty, so whatever that evokes.
$210 violation, so the fraction of that.
Now, you're going to rely on people calling in complaints to basically go out and look at what's going on?
We do have where people would have to come in for their permit and kind of give a drawing for it. You know, it's just something to say, hey, community, we're not allowed to have chickens. You do need to come and register. You're not going to go register, like with a dog, for each one needs a tag or something like that. But we do want to know what properties are having them. And so I don't want to call common courtesy, but just, you know, making us aware of where they're at.
Okay, but once, because they are getting a $10, they're paying for a $10 license? Are you going to then go inspect?
No. That's not the intent of it, but that...
You won't do that until you get a complaint called in against...
Correct.
The person.
It's like coming in and giving your permit, they're giving us a drawing and saying, hey, this is, you know, the basic of my property and this is where it would be, and I'll be like, great, you know, I happen to drive by or get a complaint or anything like that, and if not there, then I will make you remove it. So they're acknowledging that they'll...
Or buy a license.
Yeah, can you revoke...
Or buy a license.
Correct.
Can you revoke their license if they don't maintain?
I'm not sure if I have it written in there that we could revoke it, because it would be an infraction, so they'd be getting another ticket if they weren't compliant.
You can make it a condition of the license, couldn't you?
Yes.
We definitely could, yes.
Because if it becomes abused, that's when it becomes a problem.
Absolutely.
And I think that everybody, you know, the other citizens of the town of Othello, the ones that don't want it, would want something to be done about it.
Right. Very good suggestion, that.
I mean...
How we, you know, ultimately have this here, so if that's something that would work.
Well, and Moses Lake also is, have an ordinance going, but they're rewriting it at this time. I also talked to them, and they said it's in, but we're rewording some of the stuff.
So what is your, because you're the one that's going to have to deal with this. My biggest concern on this is sanitation, because chickens do smell. I know you said that they don't, but they do. And the other thing is chickens crow. In the absence of a rooster, in an absence of a rooster, a chicken will crow. They don't crow like a rooster does, but they do crow. I've raised chickens, so I'm not speaking out that I don't know. And chickens, they do smell. And that's probably a bigger concern.
How many chickens did you have that smelled? Was it three?
No, we had more than three.
Right.
But it adds up.
Not if I have dogs. I have to go out and clean up my dogs every day.
But you're going to get people, we're going to get people out there that won't clean their counter, won't clean the coops.
And we have written in here that it has to be cleaned weekly. If it's not cleaned weekly, it is at my discretion, especially if there's a complaint to on the property, and I look at that, I smell that, and I say, this isn't good enough.
But the whole premise is that it doesn't happen until you get a complaint. So if we're going to issue a license for somebody to do something like this, I would like to see an inspection. A mandatory inspection of the facility, and I'd like to see it visited periodically. So that what they're saying they're going to do to manage this and to be able to take care of it and keep it, because that's what they want to do, that they're actually doing it. But it doesn't become something that you have to keep getting called back to over and over and over again. And if you do, I want to see you be able to revoke their license and not allow them to do it again.
Because we have... Basically, that we put that in there that you would like an inspection done in the application process versus just as on the property.
Sure, before they even put any chickens in the coop.
Okay, I think what... Did you want to say something, Ken?
Yeah, I would just like to see this actually... We can keep on discussion now, but I would like to see this taken to and added on the agenda for tonight so we can further discuss it.
You make more. A motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to add this to our agenda tonight for further discussion.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Now, is that just between you guys?
No, that's...
We can interact. We have a motion made to add this... chicken ordinance discussion to the agenda. We'll call it item 3.0. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Dean, I think we're good for your presentation. Is there any other citizens here who would like to be recognized and speak tonight? Yes, Bob.
My name is Robert Russell. I live at 850 Larch. I share a common property line with the lady that just spoke. And I want to wholeheartedly encourage you to change and amend and allow the chickens. I got no problem at all. I don't want to be a chicken farmer, but I wholeheartedly support the citizens' ability to do this, provided they can comply with the rules. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Bob. Is anyone else? Please raise your hand. Yes.
My name is Rich Young, and I live with my family at 1320 East First Street, across from the hospital. And I moved here to town about 8 years ago, and one of the things I was really surprised about was you can't have chickens. I grew up in Spokane City, and lived, neighbors had chickens and other animals and things, and it seemed pretty normal to me. So being in a rural setting, such as Othello is, and being that we have neighbors right outside the town with all kinds of animals, I thought surprising that more people didn't have chickens, but now I know it's because of the regulations. And this ordinance is strict. Now it's 10 feet from each fence. How many people can actually fit a coop in their backyard, you know, being so far from a neighbor or a fence line? And as far as them getting out of their coop, I mean, it is like a pet. You hear these other cities treating them like an animal. You can't just keep an animal cooped up in a little coop all the time. So when that was brought up, I thought that was a little odd as well, you know. There was another issue that I was wondering about, and that was the number of chickens is only at 3, you know, and I have a family, I have 6 family members, and, you know, that would go a long ways as far as eggs go to keeping us fed. But it is something that children will learn for raising animals. One other last thing that I want to say I was concerned about was inspecting, you know, with a permit. We don't do that for any other animal licensing that I'm aware of, and I think that would be opening up a door to requiring that kind of an inspection for a doghouse or making cats have living quarters or something like that. I mean, I think that's a little ridiculous to be wanting to inspect a $10 fee for law-abiding citizens that have 3 chickens.
Thank you, Rich. Is there anyone else who would like to be recognized and speak tonight? Lori?
Hi, I'm Lori Johns. I live at 565 South 6th Street. And I have experienced in Yakima, this little girl that's with me tonight, she has chickens in their family. They have 5 kids, and they enjoy it so immensely. And the food that it brings to the table is second to none. So I think it's a positive if it's done right. And you guys seem like you want to do it right. I think you should do it. I think it should be a yes. And what I witness, it's a positive.
Thank you, Lori. Is there anyone else who wants to speak tonight? Please raise your hand. Okay. Thank you for your input. As we go through a couple more items on the agenda, we're going to bring this back up and have a discussion. We may speak to the community as well. So at this time, I'd like to move to item 2, approval of tonight's agenda. I entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 3, consent agenda. At this time, I entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Current business, we're going to move. I said 3.1. It's actually 4.0 is what this discussion is going to take place on, the ordinance repealing municipal code 6.12 entitled Fowl and creating Othello Municipal Code Chapter 6.12 entitled Chickens and Rabbits. Do you want to pull that up on the screen? It's only a 3-page document. And so we're going to have a discussion tonight. We have our code enforcement officer with us. We have the public who's keenly interested and in support of this measure. And we have our 5 members of our council which is enough to have this open discussion. I do have a question, because I don't think it says it here, but if you go to, it talks in 6.12, this is after the sections, And we go to 6.12010, keeping of chickens and rabbits, and it explains that. Then it goes into 6.12020 definitions. So what I'm not clear on is whether this is chickens only, or if this is chickens, ducks, quail, turkey, geese, pheasant, chucker, or other known avian species. Those are allowed as well?
No.
Those are not allowed.
Can you go back up to the, I want to make sure this is the current version. Keeping up chickens and rabbits. Yes, so we did address both chickens and rabbits with this. On the avian, under the definition A, we talked the other avian would not be allowed, ducks, quail, turkey, geese, pheasants, chuckers. The other known, we wanted to make exception, and I think we made that exception later for an E for the pet, the little birds, parakeets, canaries, and stuff like that. So we tried to cover the things. We didn't know what some of them were really
so
called.
Yeah, in the definition portion, you're defining who the other avians are, and that's where you state in E that they're not allowed.
We tried to make this specific to only chickens. So,
okay.
When we brought this to council, it was for discussion. So at that point, it looks like that's where we're at now. So if council is inclined towards this, we can add, we can remove. I would not suggest we have turkeys running around town.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I don't like geese. So, I mean.
So right now, tonight, we're just going to talk about chickens and rabbits, okay, with this ordinance. All right. So if you go to 6.12.020, those are our definitions. Everybody's fine with that, correct? If you go to 12030, requirements, no more than three are allowed at each single family dwelling. Does anybody have any objection to that three limit? Roosters not permitted, of course. I don't want to be woken at dawn every morning. No more than three rabbits over the age of 2 months are allowed at each single family dwelling. Property owner must obtain a permit for keeping chickens and rabbits on their property. The permit fee is $10 per year per location, and must include a description and location of the coop on the property. Okay, I think that's pretty obvious why the city wants to do that, because we don't particularly want somebody's chickens right outside somebody's window who's trying to sleep. So that's why that restriction is in place. E, other avian species. Okay, there it is. I'm sorry, Heather. You got it. That's in E. Okay, 6.12040, housing standards. Chickens and rabbits shall be housed in an enclosure designed to be predator-proof, thoroughly ventilated, watertight, easily accessed and cleaned, and a minimum of 10 square feet of area per chicken. So if you had three chickens, that's 30 square feet, which is a 3x10 enclosure, right? Everybody's good with all that? Provided you want to do it, of course. But yeah, okay. All coops, okay. Direct access from the coop to an outdoor enclosure shall be provided with the outdoor enclosure designed to be predator-proof. All coops and runs shall be located within a side or rear yard only. Coop shall be at least 50 feet from any neighboring dwelling and 10 feet from any property line. No portion of any run shall be within 10 feet of any property line unless the property line abuts an alley. Okay, what about the 50 feet from a neighborhood dwelling and 10 feet from any property line? Is there any objection to those? Yes, Heather.
The standard that I had found in my research was 25 feet. I measured that out and I personally felt that was kind of close, so I extended it to 50 feet, I guess because I was going to bring this together, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But the research, with all the other cities, it is 25 feet, so I don't know if anybody, wanted that information.
Dina, do you have an opinion?
I think 50 feet is a little bit large.
Rich, do you have an opinion?
I think my neighbor's houses are right across from the hospital. My neighbor's houses are right next to mine.
I probably, I'm not in the middle of my yard, it still might be within the 50 feet, but it's, I don't know. It's kind of how, strictly it's how we enforce it, is if you're trying to get it away from there.
I would definitely limit how many people could actually have it, because most yards, especially the newer ones, are going to be quite small.
Okay.
I agree, you don't want it near the neighbor's house.
Right. Counsel?
I'm saying minimum 50 feet. I think it, it's got to be 50 feet.
Are you talking about the noise of chicken might make close to a neighbor's house? I mean...
Heather?
I think it was more because they're being kept in an area that the cleanliness and the sanitation of it is a lot harder.
I think 50 feet's probably a little too much, because like, my daughter has a lot up in the Olson Homes addition up there, and her lot is only 50 feet wide.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're saying 50 feet, it's going to have to be up at her, well, it couldn't even be back by her back door, because she'd be 50 feet next to the neighbor. I mean, it'd be hard for her.
She couldn't even do it, because there's no way you could get a 50-foot yeah. setback. So,
Heather, you said the normal that you've found in all the ordinances that you've researched has been 25 feet.
So maybe you rewrite it to state that it shall be at least a minimum of 25 feet? A minimum. So that means farther than.
Well, she also said the 25 feet seemed a little close.
25 feet is too close for me.
Okay, let's go. Do I hear 30?
Just, you're going to have limitations on the size of lots to be able to do this. I think if somebody is...
Some people are going to be limited at 25 feet even.
But if somebody's exercising good judgment and is being inspected, the inspection works for them as well as their neighbors. So if they're doing the right thing and they're building it the right way, just because they don't have enough room in their backyard, they shouldn't be eliminated from being able to do it.
Well, and that's like my neighbor says, I live right in his version, and he's my neighbor, he has no problem. So I would accommodate the rules that 50 feet would be out in the middle of my lot, and if he's okay with it and it approves the center.
If you have a 50-foot lot, you would be excluded under this ordinance to even put one in. Bob, you got a comment?
I do. The 50-foot setting for the food from a residence is going to exclude probably 3/4 of the homeowners in City of Old Fellow because of the size of 50 and 75-foot lots. And you don't put that sort of restriction on dog owners, which they can be pretty obnoxious.
That's a good point. Chief, you had some? Okay. So, I need a figure if we're going to go on in this ordinance.
I'm good with the 25, with the considerations.
25?
You know.
Okay. And then the 10 feet from any property line, unless it's abutting an alley. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to D. Is there any other comment about the space restriction? Kelly, do you have
actually,
a comment?
Well, I have a general comment.
It's for the public, this is Kelly Conkright. He's the city's attorney.
Yeah, thank you. My comment is, and I don't know where council's headed tonight, but because this was just added to the agenda, which is fine, but there was no public notice in advance, so I think you can try to build a consensus tonight amongst the council members on what you may like to direct staff to do, but I would not vote on an ordinance tonight. I think you should reset it for public hearings so that public notice goes out to everybody that this will be on board, so that people who or maybe other proponents or opponents of whatever comes out of this will have a chance to speak. So didn't know if the council was headed there, but I just wanted to throw that out now before it got too far down the road.
Yes, thank you. Was there any other comments about the setbacks? Moving on to item D, All coops and runs shall be kept in a neat, sanitary, dust-free condition, must be cleaned at least once a week or more frequently if, in the opinion of the code enforcement officer, it is necessary to prevent an unsanitary condition. I think that's pretty standard. Chickens and rabbits at large, 050. It is unlawful for any person, firm, or corporation to have any custody or control of any chicken. This gets into restrictions. In other words, you can't let your chickens or rabbits out on any public street, sidewalk, school ground, public park, playground. In other words, it's got to stay home. Okay?
In their coop.
In their coops. Right? Or any unenclosed private property not owned or lawfully possessed by such person upon any private property without the consent of the owner or lawful possessor thereof. So, if the chicken gets out, is that what this is for?
Correct.
Your chickens get out, you're going to get fined. Yep. Okay. This is what's prohibited, 060. No person shall own, possess, harbor, control, or keep any premises, any chicken or rabbit that continuously or incessantly makes the noise for a period of 20 minutes or intermittently for an hour or more as to unreasonably disturb the peace or quiet of any persons. Point about dogs is well taken. It is unlawful for any person to kill or butcher any chickens or rabbits. I don't think there's any objection to any of that. Okay. Any violation is going to be a C-11 penalty, which is a $160 fine. Okay. So, basically, about the only change to this is the setback. So, I think we'll take the public's input. We will take the advice of the city attorney, and maybe we will prepare an ordinance for the December 14th, which is our next regularly scheduled city council meeting, and we'll have a public hearing, and then the council will vote on that particular ordinance. So, yes, Dina?
So, just one other quick thing. Every other ordinance I've looked at in Ellensburg, kind of like all the ones I've researched, call these pets. It's not like I'm just going to grab a couple of chickens to have some eggs in my backyard. They are literally pets. And maybe, I don't know if they have to be reworded, but that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at, oh, I'm going to go grab some chickens and have some free eggs in the backyard. I'm looking at them as pets.
Mm-hmm. It's a family. It's a family activity.
Yeah, for his family to do this with his wife and 4-H backyard chickens. I mean, we have very few chickens for the other than here anymore.
Thank you, Dina, for all the preparation of this. John, you had a comment.
Well, I would still like to see an inspection performed by the code enforcement officer in order to obtain the license.
Well, I think there needs to be some kind of health book guarantees, too.
What kind are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what there is for chickens. I know that we have to have rabies shots and all those things done for our dogs and cats.
I have a lot of research on that, Dina. I can get you.
Okay. All right. Chief?
And maybe I can address that a little bit. I've looked at similar ordinances to this and how, and I actually talked to a health department person in Yakima County years ago, but when we were worried about the pandemic stuff nationwide, they said that it's very unlikely. But in fact, they did find in Benton City, I believe, a couple of years ago, they did have some avian flu with some chickens. They monitored it. They looked at it. They said it wasn't transferable to humans. Basically, I think anytime there's some kind of flu like that, the health department does get involved and does look at it.
There are health restrictions. Yeah. Okay.
So what does this do for businesses that might be selling these, like maybe Dove or something? Can they keep?
Yeah, I talked to the health department because Dina had approached me and asked me for Imerge if I'd like to sell eggs there. And I don't know about that because I don't have one refrigerator. And so if someone was grabbing meat and they grabbed an egg and it wasn't pasteurized, that's what made me nervous. But I know that Sunny Farms did eggs, but they're also worth doing they weren't making and prepping food in the oven. So he said, the health inspector said, I could, if I wanted to go to Venus and pick up eggs, yeah, but it's something I opted out of just because of the liability that I would have to hold for that. But it is an option that you can do at this point.
Okay. I'm not sure we're addressing businesses in this ordinance.
And that actually just spurred a thought for me.
Yeah.
We're going to actually need to put an exception in this for the businesses in town that sell chicks, because currently that would not be legal with our current ordinance. So Dell's, I don't know if we have others, but I'll put an exception and bring that to council.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Chief.
I talked to Dell's. They have a minimum of 6 chicks to be bought at one time, and I said, you got to change it to 3. And they actually are going to try to work on that, because that is where we used to go in and get 3 chicks instead of having to get 6.
Okay, so just so the public knows our process, we're going to come back. We're going to take these recommendations that were given, and it'll be prepared in the form of an ordinance. We'll have a public hearing on December 14th. That's our next regularly scheduled city council meeting. You'll have an opportunity to go to the othellowaw.gov website. You can look at our agenda. You'll be able to read that ordinance. And then again, we'll have opportunity for more public comment, and the council will then make a decision on that ordinance, whether they want to approve it or not, and that's up to the council. I would anticipate all 7 members of the council will be here, so if you want to talk to the council, feel free to talk to the council between now and then. And if you're in favor of having chickens in addition to rabbits in the city of Othello, let them know that that's your desire. Okay? All right. With that, we'll move on to item 4.1. We're going to have a public hearing with regard to an ordinance of the City of Othello, Washington, extending a 6-month moratorium prohibiting marijuana production, processing, and retail sales, and or medical marijuana production, processing, cultivation, storage, sale, delivery, exchange, or bartering, including collective gardens and dispensaries, and all zoning districts within the city, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. So at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing at 7:43 p.m., and we have a presentation from the city's attorney, Kelly Conkright. Kelly?
Thank you. So last time we looked at this was in May of this year. We extended the 6-month moratorium to give the city additional time to study the secondary effects of retailing, processing, growing marijuana in city limits. I know that our city planner, Travis Goddard, has been looking into that issue. On the legal side, I've continued to monitor the situation. There's really not much news to report back to council from what we had before. I do believe that the time is ripe for the city to make a decision on this. The issues have been fairly well fleshed out in the courts as far as the extent of the city's authority to allow it, or place limitations around it, or disallow it. So really, we do know the extent to which the city can regulate marijuana sale, production, and processing here in the city limits. The process that I would recommend for that is, if the moratorium is extended, I do think that within the next few months, the council should consider an ordinance and take action on what they want to do and put that in place before the moratorium expires. Because we can't have a perpetually, it's not the best situation to have a moratorium that you just perpetually continue on. We've been doing our work, and I think we're getting to a point where we can come to a final decision on the ordinance. The proper procedure would be to put it through, I would recommend putting it through the Planning Commission, have them take a look at it, have, of course, Travis Scotter, and they would hold public hearings on that issue, and they would come up with a recommendation for council. And of course, council can look at that. Council's not bound by it. And then the council would have a public hearing on what to do and give the members of the public the opportunity to come in, voice their opinions, and then taking all that information into account, the council can make a decision on what they want to do to proceed forward. And I do think that would be the prudent move, and is what my recommendation is to the council, is to approve the 6 months, an additional 6 month moratorium, but give direction to staff to submit this to the Planning Commission, to come up with recommendations and bring it before City Council before expiration of this moratorium, and we'll get it done. I know that the Planning Commission is currently dealing with the comprehensive plan, so getting this in before the plan into the Planning Commission this past, you know, time frame coming up to this has been difficult. I would suspect that we should be able to, the comprehensive plan, under my understanding, should be completed in the January, February timeframe, and that's when we could submit this. This would be the next thing the Planning Commission would take up and get a recommendation to the City Council. I'm sure, happy to answer any questions the city may have.
Council, do you have any questions for Kelly? No?
These, underneath this marijuana zoning, you got all these definitions and stuff. What is the state law right now? I thought that there was going to be a change in the dispensary of medical marijuana where you would have to go to a retail outlet and buy it. You can no longer grow it for yourself or grow it as a group and provide it as medical marijuana. I mean, the state started this whole thing, and they really want to generate tax money from it. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it when everybody else is just growing it and saying they have a reason for it. So I thought they were going to repeal all that and put it under the retail outlet to be the provider of, if you needed medical marijuana, you went to the retail outlet and you bought it.
Currently, I don't think that, I do think there are medical marijuana dispensaries still in the state, and I know that that is certainly a consideration. And it makes a lot of sense if you're going to allow retail to eliminate the medical marijuana use and just have people go to, because you don't need a prescription anymore, just go get it through retail, just like you would anything else you don't need a prescription for. I do not believe that has been done. I do believe that the old concept of collective gardens has gone away, if I recall correctly. But I do believe there are medical marijuana dispensaries still. Now, caveat, I could be wrong about that. I know that that is a consideration before the legislature, is to just force everything to retail. I don't know that that's been done yet.
Any further questions, counsel, of our legal counsel?
So what directions have most town cities been going in? You said that it's been fairly well fleshed out as far as whether it's zoning or outright banning it. You know, what are the directions that look like we're kind of heading?
Well,
that are legally good.
Well, legally, you have a lot of permissible actions that you can take. It's been a mix across the state on what they've decided to do. There's been plenty of municipalities that have decided to just outright ban production, retail.
Those communities were getting challenged, though, and I was wondering.
Correct. And on those legal challenges, the cities have fared well. Their ability to ban the use through the zoning ordinances and the considerations that the council can consider under the zoning ordinances has been upheld. And so that would be an option that is available to council.
But we're not banning the use of it. We're banning
sale.
We're banning the sale of it within the city limits.
Correct. The council,
by not allowing business to start up.
Yes, if the council went that direction, that's what the council would be doing. The council would not have any power to ban the use of marijuana. I mean, so somebody could buy marijuana outside the city limits, bring it in, and use it.
That's, yeah.
That's correct. There's nothing we can do about that.
No.
Right. We have grow operations within 5 miles of the city today. I don't know where in eastern Washington you'd have to go to buy marijuana. I'm sure you could get it in the Tri-Cities somewhere.
I know there's a lot of it in Spokane and Spokane Valley, because we've been dealing with that issue. So yeah, there's plenty of dispensaries around Othello.
Okay. Council, any further? All right. Then at this time, I'd like to open public testimony or questions. There's three levels of questions, Erica. Those in support, those neutral to the proposal, and those in opposition to the proposal, depending on where you are. At this time, those who want to speak in support of this moratorium ordinance, would you please raise your hand? I'll recognize you or have questions. Yes, you're going to speak in support of the moratorium.
No, excuse me.
Okay, you're not in support of the moratorium. Okay, then you're okay. How about those who are neutral to the proposal? Yes, you'll need to step to the microphone, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm curious, did we lose tax revenue then by not having them in the city limits because we're not getting sales tax off of it?
Would you please state your name and address for the record? Yes. Erica,
yeah, my Rattray. Sales tax, if they would get, the city gets that sales tax revenue.
Okay, my understanding is if we ban marijuana in the city of Othello, we will not receive tax revenue from the sale.
If we ban the sale of marijuana in the city of Othello.
Yeah,
we cannot ban marijuana from the city of Othello. If somebody wants to purchase it,
sale of marijuana. Yes. So you're correct.
Oh, okay. So we lose money off of that.
We don't get to participate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay.
My understanding.
I guess one thing I'd have to say, because I'm totally neutral about it, is I've met a lot of those people who have those hippie farms on Cunningham, and they're really nice, and they actually did donate to build a hotel. And I think that as a community, we should be more open to what they have to offer. Not saying that we should sell marijuana in Othello, but...
And yeah, well, that's currently now. You know, we used to have, the cities used to be able to collect taxes from the sale of alcohol, too, at one time. But through the past few years, the states pretty much ate all that up and took it away. And it's not saying that that might happen with this, too, because if it's a pretty lucrative tax deal for the state.
Yeah. Basically.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
so there's no guarantee if we could, we're going to keep that or not. I don't think the state has really got a good set plan on how they're going to disperse that yet to the cities and stuff, or with total amounts. They're still working on some of that, my understanding.
Yeah, we used to get a cut from the state liquor stores. But when they got rid of state liquor stores and went to strictly just stores, that went away. And then I suppose it's just a matter of whatever sales tax those stores pay, but...
Because I think currently they're still not using, like, banks. Stuff like that. But I know they do generate a lot of money. It was really nice because they said that no one from like the city of Othello had like, or anyone had really welcomed them to like, because they grow marijuana. And I was like, no, come to the hotel, bring something, donate. And they did. And I think they really appreciated that. I think we should support any sort of business. But maybe not in town. I don't know. I guess we don't get the sales money.
Thank you, Erica. So, is there any other neutral to the proposal you want to speak? Okay, those in opposition to the moratorium. Christy McNeely is with us tonight.
My name is Christy McNeely. I live at 608 Davenport in Richland, Washington. Hi, Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for your time. I first would like to answer your question. As of July 1st, 2016, all medical and retail marijuana stores have to merge. Their medical marijuana stores are no longer allowed as of July 1st, 2016. If you're an existing retail store, you have to apply with the Washington State Liquor Control Board for a medical authorization. And something that is coming out is training. And I am hoping that the state will require some type of training or education for the retail stores, because the medical portion of marijuana is different than things that you can get retail. And so there are medical applications for cannabis, and then there are also, as people would describe us, to get high. So there is a differentiation there, and I'm hoping that the state will assist retail stores in educating about medical. But as of July 1st, they all have to merge and become one. Medical dispensaries will be illegal. And so I just want to share about myself. I'm a mother and a grandmother. I'm an accountant. I provide in-home care for the elderly and terminally ill. I have personally witnessed the miracles that medical marijuana can provide for people, even as simple as a topical to help with muscle spasms, muscle pain, PTSD. I brought documentation today, some very recent developments with the federal government and the National Cancer Institute. It has been proven by a study at St. George's University in London that cannabis does kill cancer cells. And the federal government has now admitted that. They recognize that. And that was an article of November 11th. In Congress right now, there are two things that are happening with veterans. They are trying to vote in a Veterans Equal Access Amendment, and that would mean that veterans that are prescribed medical marijuana, their doctors cannot get in trouble for doing that. So the federal government is acknowledging that it has a medical value for veterans. And then something else that is happening is that for mandatory minimum sentencing for federal drug crimes has been reduced, and that is huge across the country. And so these two recent developments tell me that the federal government is looking at this subject in a realistic manner, and I firmly believe that it will be decriminalized or taken from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2 drug, which will change things rapidly across the country, because then it is recognized that it has a medical value, and they are looking at that in the Senate and Congress right now. I'm concerned that there are cities and counties that are banning entire industries, therefore banning entire populations. You know, if you welcome people in your community, you can create a more involved community. Where I moved from in Jefferson County, it was the highest vote yes for I-502. And we have a huge voting turnout, amazing community, wonderful people, and everybody is very accepting of each other. There has not been a huge rise in crime. There hasn't been a huge rise in children use. I had a conversation with the mayor of Prosser. He stated the same thing. They have not noticed any big changes, no big negative impact in their city. There is not cannabis available in the Tri-Cities. Therefore, as of July 1st, veterans, those that are ill, they will have to travel far to get that. Moses Lake is the closest place near you guys where it is legal. I feel that many fears about cannabis are false. I think that they are based on old information, not up-to-date studies, not current things that are happening now. And I feel that it's really important for public officials to study and read the most up-to-date information and make your decisions based on that current information. And so I'm here today to ask you to not extend your moratorium and open your city to retail sales.
Okay, question for you. You've given us a card that you're a business manager for Lucky Leaf Company.
Yes.
And you're saying there's no retail outlets in the Tri-Cities?
No. We were open for 3 weeks.
And then closed?
We chose to open. We were directed by the City Council of Pasco that they were going to zone, and if they were to zone, it would be in an area called King City. We found a location, we were approved by the Washington Liquor Control Board, we opened up, even though there was still a ban in place, we were open up for 3 weeks, and I brought you some documentation of the excise taxes. You can see in the graph the huge jump in excise taxes during that three-week period that we were open, and we are currently in litigation with the Pasco City Council.
Yeah. Christy, we, as a city, we were probably one of the highest in the state against it. At least 60% voted against I-502.
66%.
66%?
Yes.
So, every city, you know, you came from Port Townsend, and they were among the highest for it, we're among the highest against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this council is, they listen to both sides of every argument very well, and I really appreciate their willingness to study issues. As you saw tonight, we did with,
yes,
we spent 45 minutes on chicken, yes, ordinances and going through that at length, right? And so we are a conservative community, and there are concerns, and one of those is, of course, you know, one of the chief opposers of this is our local integrated health drug and alcohol counselors. They are against this in the city of Othello, and the reason is because they see it as a gateway drug. And so those statistics are also out there, and they're every bit as valid as other statistics that are brought forward to bring it forth. It's just a matter of who or which side of the equation you fall upon.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, we can all find information to support our,
yeah,
beliefs.
To support our, yes, beliefs and our, yeah, of course. So one of the things that, you know, you heard our city attorney say is that maybe what we need to do as a council is now begin to determine whether we're going to ban, because I anticipate we will, you know, and that's up to the council, we will extend the moratorium, but our council is now telling us we probably should make up our mind within the next 6 months about whether either we're going to ban it or whether we're going to allow it and regulate it. And if we do allow it, I certainly want it regulated. I don't want it in just any, without any kind of regulation. You're certainly aware that we want to regulate where those things are located.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And I don't think that anybody would have any objection to that.
No.
Very unfortunate, the scenario you had in Pasco. We in Othello don't really believe in allowing you to be permitted and spend money and then later tell you no.
Yes,
we don't really like that kind of,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
do that to business in this community. So we're very sorry about those troubles that you've had, but I think that you'll see this council make a decision sometime in the next 3 or 4 months. So if you want to come back when we you can look on the othellowaw.gov website,
yes,
and see when we're going to have that on our council agenda, and we will have another public hearing, and you'll be able to certainly speak in favor of either regulation and allowing those,
sure,
a sale facility.
And just something that some other counties have done is provide a conditional use permit, limiting the amount of retail stores that can be within the city limits. And then they can impose, I don't want to say a fine, a licensing fee, an extra portion for allowing that type of a business within their city limits, and then limiting the time. After a one-year period, you can re-examine the conditional use permit, and at that time,
they decide if it's working or if it's not, if it's had negative impacts on their community or not. So that's another way that it has been handled.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's a good way to kind of test it out and see how it works.
Thank you very much. Council, is there any more questions of Christie tonight?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Is there anybody else in favor tonight of, who is in opposition to extending the moratorium tonight? Yes.
I'm also at 608 Davenport Street, and thank you for your time and letting me speak. I just want to mention, when extending the moratorium or keeping the moratorium, in my opinion, promotes black market sales. So, like he said, that, you know, marijuana is already here, it's not going to go away. So as long as you guys don't allow it to be here and collect the taxes, that they just increase the amount of taxes you guys can get. I think that was also July or something of this year. So to promote cities to allow, you know, because the state wants to make money, that's their whole purpose. But yeah, so if you know, the longer you keep it illegal, it just keeps the black market running strong, and that's definitely not a good thing. But if you haven't been into one of the stores before, I remember the liquor stores when Washington State used to run them and stuff, and these stores are super professional, extremely clean, like all kinds of security. They have a person that checks your ID at the door, they check your ID again at the time of sale, there's cameras all throughout the building because the state requires it, so security is really not an issue. And it's been legal for about 2 years now, and over in Western Washington, I'm telling you, there's not a problem. There hasn't been an increase of crime and things like that. So it's really nothing to be afraid of. And gateway drug, I think that's definitely old thinking. Alcohol is probably your gateway drug. Alcohol is the one, when people do alcohol, they do things that they wouldn't normally do. People that smoke marijuana, it's typically not the case. They don't like smoke marijuana and think, no, I'm going to go out and try, you know, heroin or whatever. Alcohol, on the other hand, when you do alcohol, I think your judgment's far more impaired, and then, for instance, driving vehicles or whatever. So I just think that the information, like the latest information that's coming out with the fact that, you know, finding cancer cells and stuff, that there's a lot more to it, and they're way behind the times because they've pushed it aside for so long, and now they're finally getting around to, actually doing research on it and stuff, and we've learned a lot, so. I think it's time to stop the bans. There's 5 counties left, I think, in Washington State that currently have bans, and they're all right here. So we're kind of stuck in this little pocket of they don't want to move forward with time, really. And it really is time to, for one, when the federal government declassifies it from the class 1 to a class 2 drug, which it will happen, that will change everything. And the states, you know, one state after another has already been jumping on board with medical, but also with the retail sales too. So it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense anymore to keep the bans in place. But I do understand that you guys want to do research and make sure you make a good educated decision. But just from experience and where we come from and stuff, I mean, really, it's just, I can't wait for you guys to catch up and just be, and the rest of the country will too, you know.
That doesn't work. That's a great thing about America. We all have different opinions, and
that's right.
And you go with the majority of what your voters say. And we are an ultra conservative area. You're talking about 5 counties that are all salt of the earth kind of people that go out and they vote, and they voted, and that's what they've said is, you know, they were not in favor of it.
That's right.
That's not to say that I believe that 100%. I'd like to know kind of what your guys' motives are. Are you looking for an ulterior
location
outside of the Tri-Cities, but close enough to the Tri-Cities to where,
yeah.
Because we live in a population of 7,500 people, and I can't see you doing a bang up business, you know, here in Othello. This tax revenue that you're stating that we would, it's nothing.
Right.
You don't even throw that out there. You're talking about bringing people from other areas to our community to buy marijuana, okay? Mm-hmm. That's basically what you're going to say you're doing. We're not going to benefit from that. Our community is not going to benefit from that. It's going to increase traffic. It's going to increase, you know, crime in a way. If, you know, by bringing more people to the area.
When you guys promote any sort of, you know, tourism, attractions, business to your area, it doesn't necessarily create more crime, but maybe with more people is more crime, correct? But the, you know, people coming here to purchase marijuana would be good for your city. They also spend money in other ways, you know, if you're getting gas, buying lunch, doing whatever. It wouldn't impact that negatively. Snacks, lots of snacks. You know, that's probably about the worst thing you'll see. But when it comes to the 66%, there is one more really good point I'd like to make. These bans are very damaging to the voting system. And the reason why is it was a statewide vote, okay? Everybody voted. And yeah, you got your 66% that said no, but what happens to how come the 44% vote doesn't count either on a statewide vote? It wasn't a vote
system. I'm one of the 44 that voted for it.
Did you?
I'm not voting for it here.
I'll tell you the truth. I voted no on I-502, and the reason why, my wife did too, it was a terrible law. Washington State came out with this law kind of in a hurry. They rushed a few things. You know, Colorado had just barely gotten started, and we were trying to kind of go off of what they already had going, and then they came up with their own laws. And Washington State, in some ways, frankly, is kind of greedy when it comes to the taxes and stuff. So I think that the law was not a good law, and I know that I wanted marijuana legal one day, but I didn't think that was the right law. So I voted no, hoping that they would just come out with another law, kind of like Oregon's law is a little better than ours, I believe. So I just hoped that maybe if we voted no on that one, waited long enough, a good law would come along, and then that's when we should vote it in. But the law was voted in, and I'm embracing the voters' vote. I mean, we said yes in Washington State, so that's what I'm going to stand behind it.
Sure, come back up.
Oh, and by the way, when it comes to this, we are going to keep our business in Pasco, and you can have up to 3 licenses per license, so we can, or 3 stores per license. So this was just an idea of possibly bringing one to your city too, and then also wait for Pasco to come along with the times. But all it's going to take is one of these cities to finally kind of, you know, go out and, you know, and I guess take a gamble, as you will, and maybe do the 1-year conditional use permit, see how it goes, and if it works, I truly believe other cities will jump on board. They're going to see that it's not causing a problem. The marijuana is already here. We're going to get black market off the streets, kind of help reduce the crime in that way, and that's the best way to do it. And for children, for instance, teenagers and stuff, when you have, if you can just get it from your dealer on the streets, you know, you can be any age to pick it up. If you have to go to the store and get ID'd twice, I don't care if you come in with the grayest hair in the world. I mean, doesn't matter how old you look. We had a gal that came into our Pasco store that was in her 90s, and we ID'd her twice.
Christy, did you have a comment?
I'm sorry.
I did. I just wanted to, regarding the 502, we did vote against 502, and something that we are petitioning the Franklin County right now is to do an advisory vote on their next ballot regarding the retail issue within stores, not the broad issue of 502, but asking citizens specifically, do you want to allow retail stores within your city? And so that's a little bit different approach, because to me, 502 and allowing retail stores within the city were kind of apples and oranges. 502 wasn't written very well. And I just wanted to clarify that we aren't here to try to petition to open a business here. I want to bring awareness to all the places that do have bans, that do have moratoriums, and just try to bring awareness to the situation and try to create a more united community.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any response from the staff now? Kelly?
Well, my only comment is that keep in mind the moratorium is not the final word from the council on whether or not retail sales will be allowed in Othello. It really is giving the council time and staff time to investigate the issue so that the council can determine what it wants to do and if it is going to be allowed, what kind of parameters need to be put into place rather than just outright allowing it and allowing it to be the Wild West. If you're going to allow it, you need, you know, council needs to be prudent and understand what kind of restrictions it can put in place and what is right for the community. And so that's the purpose of the moratorium. It's not to affect a ban on retail sales in perpetuity. It's to give council time to make an informed decision on how best to proceed for the community. And that's what the council will be doing. And that's the work we'll be doing over the next few months.
Okay. Thank you. This time I'd like to close public testimony at 8:14 p.m. Is there any additional questions council has?
I have a couple questions. Does anybody know what the current stance of the county commissioners is on moratoriums?
The only thing I know is I talked to them about it their view on it is it's the state law. They are body or arm of the state, so they will abide by the state law. So it's open the grow operations. There are, I think, two retail sales within the county license still pending, and they always submit no comment with that being for or against. It's their view is it's state law, so they don't put any more restrictions on it.
So, and my understanding on the two retail sales, Adams County, because of the population base, was only allowed two retail sales points within the county, and those have already been applied for or in the process of being.
None of them have been awarded. No,
but not awarded.
Bench has one.
Bench has it. It's last I saw it was applied, but I didn't know if it had been approved or not.
But that's the decision by the state.
Yes, that's
that's by the liquor control board. So they've got pending.
So if those two are approved by liquor control, that means that no more are allowed within the county.
But the one that I know of, that's not a 5 miles east of Ritzville. That one still has been approved, and it's been pending for.
Do you have any other questions, Ted?
No, that's sort of the questions.
I've got one for Spencer. Is there a way to find out, like, say, how much you would get out of, say, $1,000 worth of sales or $100 worth of sales, or what the city would get?
I haven't seen anything on MRSC that would show that.
Tyler, you have some information.
So the way the state set it up is there is a pot of money that will be delivered to all of the cities that participate in retail sales. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but that pot is fixed, and the percentage you get is your percentage of the total retail sales in the state. So it's kind of broken to set up that the state.
Pro rata is the term.
More, yeah.
Pro rata.
So that. Cities can only get this much, and then state gets everything that's left over. It's not a percentage of the whole pot, you get a percentage of a piece of it that's fixed.
That's in addition to the sales tax, too.
So, what I understand is they took the sales tax that they were charging to the processors, which they were charging on the growers as well. And they've moved all that to the retail.
37% of cannabis tax to the state and plus your local sales tax. So that's, you know, so that's for the high dollar that are coming in for settings.
Right, because you guys are buying it for $5 a gram.
Exactly, $3 to $5.
Three what?
Like $3 a gram.
Okay, depending on the concentration levels, quality.
It is no longer a lottery system. It is not open to anybody that wants to apply at get through the process, a quite restrictive process.
And our business partner had the license, and now see, because of these issues of being able to stuff, have allowed, originally we could not move where we were licensed, where we had to stay, but now it's changed, and so we can actually move to a location that doesn't have a license, but we can't apply there.
Which is why you spoke in opposition. Okay, so tonight I would entertain a motion to either approve this moratorium, approve it with conditions, deny the moratorium, or to continue the hearing. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to extend the moratorium so that we can
approve the
yeah.
Okay.
So that we can prepare ordinances, whether we prepare two and decide or take it to the Planning Commission. I think we need to go through those steps.
That's what was it advised. Okay.
Yeah, I believe we should send it to the Planning Commission to take, approve the moratorium and send it to the Planning Commission to look at it.
Yeah.
Further.
Let's get something done.
Yeah. Do I have a second?
Mm-hmm. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So to address the McNeelys, again, I want to thank you for coming to Othello. I want to also encourage you to look at the City of Othello government website. And when sometime I would anticipate this spring, the city will bring this action up. And then that would be an appropriate time to then come to that public hearing and let your voice be heard. Okay.
You're probably welcome to come in on the planning.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. The Planning Commission is going to be taking up the matter, and you might want to provide, because actually your information tonight was very good. It was very helpful. It was informative, and I want to compliment you on that.
More knowledgeable than us.
Yeah, and because that's your business. But, yeah. So, Travis Goddard is the Community Development Director, so you might want to contact him here at the city and find out when the Planning Commission meetings are going to be reviewing the ordinance for the City Council. Okay? Very good. Thank you so much. All right. Moving on in our agenda, we're going to go to item 4.2, First Avenue Improvements Payment. And Kurt?
Kurt Holland with Burrell & Associates. Wade asked me to give a little background on the First Avenue project, so I thought I'd kind of start back prior to us. It was an application done in, I believe, 2012 or 13 with a TIB, State Transportation Investment Board. It was awarded for a grind and overlay and ADA ramp replacement for the first northerly two blocks of First Avenue. South of Main Street. At some point in time, it got combined with the 14th Avenue project, which was submitted application in 2014. The 2014 14th Avenue project got delayed with GNO trying to get the funding back or the bid packages together. They were informed by TIB in June that time had expired for using that funds. We went back to TIB and we got extended and went out to bid. Realizing at that point in time we were pushing the window for getting that work done, but it was a decision made of get as much done and get as much money out of that project as we could or lose everything. Knew it was a risk. I think I presented it to council at that time that it was a risk we could run out of weather, and we did. I wouldn't let him do the grind because I didn't want to open street through the winter. So we waited, delayed the grind and the overlay to the last minute to make sure that there was an adequate window to get that work done. I think I was at the Planning Commission Thursday. We were going to try to do it Friday, and it was sprinkling Thursday night. Can't have a wet surface to do the grind and lay the overlay on a wet surface. So we did a winter shutdown. We've since had conversations with TIB and they've agreed to hold the money till spring and finish the project. So The pay estimate you got in front of you today is all the work that's been done through today. The only thing left is the actual planing of the road, the overlay, and the striping of the street at completion.
Any questions, council?
So they've completely finished the sidewalk portions and the curb and gutter?
Sidewalk portions and the ADA ramps have been completed. They had lowered the utilities to get ready for the grind. When the window passed, they raised the utilities back up to the street for winter access for the valves and manholes, and did cold patch in the streets.
So they buttoned it up for the winter?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So are we going to have to pay to have that done again?
No.
Okay, so they'll profile the accesses without any cost?
That's correct. And they cold patched it without cost.
That's nice.
Yeah, the contractor's been pretty good. I had some concerns there with the contractor.
The work that's been completed already is on First Avenue. You're saying there's $213,000 owed on that today?
Yes. It was roughly half. When the state went forward and required ADA improvements alongside of a grind and overlay, it doubled the cost of a grind and overlay. So you can roughly see that it's about half done. So the ADA ramps and the sidewalks are complete and the grind and overlay is
done. Yeah, there's a lot of blacktopping that needs to be done and when you get done next year. So you're satisfied with what got done?
Yes.
How it got done?
Yeah.
And that it will hold up?
Yes. The cold patch, you're going to have to watch it. Nothing's guaranteed. Mark can verify that. But I mean,
I'm not talking about the short term with the asphalt. I'm talking about the concrete.
Nope, concrete's good.
Concrete's good?
Yep.
Because I know they had to blanket it a lot.
Yep, they did do some blanketing when it got cold. Yep.
Yep, okay.
We had surface thermometers on it. It was all right.
It didn't move, didn't shift,
nope.
Didn't crack?
Nope.
Okay. I'd hate to get all this done and then 2 years down the road have to come in and tear it all out because it's all just cracked because of the time of the year that we put it in.
Yeah, if it gets cold, usually what happens is it kind of de-lams off the top.
We had a couple of nights where it dropped down to 19 degrees.
Yeah.
And they were still pouring concrete. And there was people asking me, what are you guys doing? Why are you pouring concrete when it's 19 degrees?
Yeah.
You know, don't tear any more up. Don't do any more work. Wait until you can. But, you know, I understood it was a funding issue. We wanted to get as much done as we could, so.
Yeah, with care. I would say, Nofella, you could probably pour concrete all winter. I mean, using heaters and blankets. I mean, we poured concrete through Leavenworth, Colville all winter.
Okay, so as long as you think it's good.
Yep.
Good to go.
Okay. Any further questions of Kurt?
Do we have a restart date with them?
Yeah. It's going to be time dependent on the weather.
But we're going to be first at the top of the line. We're going to drop for another project, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my concern, that if we're going to get this contractor back first thing in the spring, because they're already lining up their spring projects.
Yeah.
The bigger jobs. And
well, we have their retainage and $200,000 that they're going to be wanting to get, so they're not going to get either one until the project's complete.
The thing they're going to have to wait for is the asphalt plant's open.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What will hold them back.
Also, the city got $750,000, another grant from TIB to do the south end of First Street. They were notified Friday, I think.
Yay.
So you're going to roll this into this?
I don't think there'll be time to roll it into this. It'd be nice. Actually, we have 14th Avenue coming out too, so it would be, it'd be nice if they could bring the paving machine and get new both projects, but I can't control the contractor on that one.
We'll work towards that. All right, tonight we have a pay estimate brought by the city's engineer. At this time, I entertain a motion to approve this pay estimate, application number one for First Avenue Improvement Project.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kurt. Item 4.3, contract with Adams County Pet Rescue. Wade?
Yeah, for this, originally, so I just got some word from Kelly. He looked at it again as we were sitting here. The only change is going to be a change from the amount we were giving him to $20,000. And then Kelly just looked at it, and he's got an amendment he wants to add. So, Kelly, I'll let you take over.
Sure. Yeah, I was looking at this again, seeing it on the agenda. Originally, had looked at it some time ago. Since then, on other matters that have nothing to do with the city, been doing some legal research, and on the indemnity provision, there is, I do suggest one amendment for the council's consideration, and that would be to paragraph 4.1, if you have the agreement in front of you. And so the indemnification provision currently reads, to indemnify and hold the city harmless from any liability for damages resulting from any action the ACPRs, employees, agents, or volunteers related in any way to the operation of the animal shelter pursuant to the contract, the word in should be struck. ACPR shall provide proof of liability insurance as an attachment to the contract. I would suggest adding a sentence. It doesn't have to be exact verbiage, but it should be something to the extent of the ACPR's duty to indemnify and defend the city should include actions alleging or involving concurrent negligence. And the reason being, there's been some relatively recent case law interpreting indemnity provisions, providing that if they don't state specifically that it covers concurrent negligence, then they only arise in situations where the only plausible complaint is the sole negligence of the, in this case, the animal shelter, the Adams County Animal Shelter. So in the unlikely event there would ever be any problem with the contract or anybody would bring an action against a fellow for something that the county did under this contract, that would strengthen the indemnity provision and provide more protection to the city, be more assurance of the city having protection. So having read this again, after having done that research and looking at more recent case law, that'd be something I would consider, just to, it really gets at the intent of what the indemnification provision is and provides more assurance that it'll actually be enforced the way the city envisions it. Okay. In light of recent guidance from the courts on that issue.
Any other questions, council?
Yeah, it was, when was it determined that our consensus was to increase?
The last budget meeting, 2 weeks ago tonight.
And we went through the capital.
We went through all the items, and that was the consensus.
I don't remember that.
Well, it was.
Because we said, because they were asking for 10,000 more.
And
we said we'd give them five.
Right. And then we're back to 20?
No, that's
that five on top of their 15 that was current.
Their regular contract.
Their regular contract's 10.
15.
15. And they wanted another 10,000. They wanted $25,000 total. And we said, no, we couldn't do that, but we could do five.
Yep.
So that brings our contract to 20.
Okay, but is. Some people have said something to me, and I'm just curious. What exactly are we paying for under our contract? And is there any verification that, I mean, because we're giving them a lump sum of money and they're doing services for us, and is there any tracking of the services that are being provided?
I mean, is the money only being spent on city costs is what I think.
Yeah. I mean,
are they only spending that money on our costs?
Are they processing?
They remember that when I gave a presentation, they talked about how many dogs and stuff they'd had from the city, and how much it costs per dog and that sort of thing. So I don't know, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but they do track how many dogs come from the county, how many come from the city. Mm-hmm. And so we could give them a come back and make another presentation, but that presentation, they sort of broke it out for us. And if you look at all the numbers and look at what it costs to operate that facility, $20,000, is a pretty good deal, whether, you know, we track the cost or not. That's up to council, obviously, but the new facility there, you guys have all been out there, I think, and it's quite the facility. For the city to run our own dog pound separate, with our own, with staffing, just staffing alone would cost us more than $20,000. So for them to do what they do and get the dogs off the street, and the chief can back me up on this, I think, but just, you know, and work with Heather and watching what she does, to get the dogs off the street and then house them out there. Just the housing alone, you know, they have one full-time and one, like a semi-full-time, person out there. If you do the math on how much that would cost the city, it's far and above, $20,000. So we can get them to break it out and track if you'd like, but just simple math will tell you we get pretty damn good deal.
Well, it'd be nice to know that they were spending all of the $20,000 on strictly city costs.
Well, they,
we're not giving them money just to run.
Excuse me.
They should be on city
they
costs.
Presented, when they presented several weeks ago, they gave us their budget, they gave us their costs, they gave us a presentation of how many dogs. All that information was given to the council. Okay.
Chief?
All we're saying is that there should be some tracking going on. We should, you know, get that.
Okay, there is tracking going on, and they provide it to the council.
I know Heather could answer a lot of those questions for us. And I believe that they actually designate so many pens for the city.
They've actually set up the shelter, so there's a section for city dogs and for county dogs. They do, I mean, I believe, commingle all the money. Mm-hmm. And that was part of what I remember from the presentation last month. But the $20,000, I'll support clearly the city administrator on this. $20,000 is very inexpensive for what we're getting. We couldn't do it for a quarter of that. So, I mean, and actually with the contract, I think they opened it up, or with what they're proposing, they're actually going to help with cats more, which they've only been taking cats as a, to be nice, because the contract previously, I don't believe, allowed or booked to cats.
And just to add one piece of information, interlocal agreement that's proposed does require the county to, you know, tabulate or to accumulate and produce to the city a certain piece of information, including the number of animals brought to the shelter from within the city limits. And they organize that a pretty specific way, whether they were brought in by their owner, you know, when were they adopted, and some other information. So, you know, the contract does require them to give the council information that can be, you know, helpful to know, you know, how many, what is the county, you know, doing with the money? Is this a good deal for the city? I mean, they're required to report it as version of the interlocal.
You know, and to me, I think Pet Rescue and Adams County Pet Rescue displayed that very well on their presentation. They do commingle their funds, but like I said, I think they demonstrated it very well. It'd be the same way for us going back to the fire department and asking them what they do with every single dollar that we give them for the contract for the fire department. That ain't right. I know they commingle it, but they use that money wisely to fulfill the contract and what we've asked them to do, provide the fire service, which I think Pet Rescue is doing. They're providing a very valuable service, and to go back and ask them what they do with every single dollar of that.
Well, if they have to come back to us every single year and ask for $5,000 more every year, then something's got to be done up front to stop the amount of animals that are trapped passing through there. I mean, we've got to put this thing under control. The term of the contract to a contract for a set value, set amount, not to be negotiated every year. Because right now under SIG, term of the contract term is only 1 year. And it's for a period of 20 years.
We gave them a big bump last year, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think...
We stop issuing dog licenses. If they're going to end up in the kennel and be euthanized or traded off to somebody else, this is getting ridiculous.
What they're doing, though, what I'm finding out about them is they're into population control. So any dog that comes out of, that's adopted out of that, or that comes through there, are either spayed or neutered. And you can't rescue the problem because there aren't enough resources to rescue them. You have to control the population.
Yeah, we've heard the stories of the community and what this type of community that we live in with these dogs are left behind as people move on. And whether they're left at the pound or whether they're just left in the home or on the street, you know, that's common for this area. So somehow we got to get ahead of that and stop that from occurring. You know, we do our things to get the dogs licensed. You know, maybe we need to do more. Maybe we don't need to grant licenses. If there's a dog that is continually causing problems in the community, those people don't deserve the opportunity to have a dog or get another dog or continue to perpetuate.
And to address that, we are completely rewriting the dog ordinance. It isn't designed to make it difficult to get a dog. Our license fee has nothing to do with the actual cost of processing that, because our license fee is so inexpensive. I mean, but we can't charge $200 a license or, you know, what it would actually cost us to actually go do the service. You know, I think as we bring this new dog ordinance to council, it's going to be simpler for Heather to administer it. So those repeat dog owners, the problem locations, we'd be able to deal with quicker.
But I think that a lot of the dogs that were passing through the pet rescue were actually licensed dogs. They were being left behind as people don't. There was a statistic in there about that. So if it's a licensed dog and it belongs to somebody and it's left behind, then the person needs to be penalized wherever they're moving to for leaving that dog behind for us to take care of. We need to write something like that into the
abandonment
ordinance. Yeah.
I'll look at it, sir.
Any further questions, council? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Well, can we address the issue? I've brought up a point. I'd like to see the term of the contract established for more than 1 year period. So if we're gonna go ahead and vote on a $20,000 amount to pet rescue, because the consensus is that that's far more than, I mean, it's very equitable. I would like to see that stay equitable for 3 years.
Okay.
I don't want to see it go to 25 next year and 30 the next year.
Still be a bargain at 50, but yeah.
And the only way it would go up would be council approval. The council would have to approve the contract every year in order to increase it.
So John's question to the council then is, does the council want to go and authorize this contract for 1 year or for three at 20?
Well, you'd have to go back to Pet Rescue and ask them if that's something that they would agree to.
They're not going to go anywhere.
Through the month of October, there was 272 dogs and 55 cats that were sitting. In the county, there was 303 dogs and 109 cats. So that's...
And they have a total expenses of $123,000 a year. So our 20 is very little for almost half the population that's coming out.
The county's 412 animals and the city is 327. So that's... out of a 123,000
year budget, we're...
That's your expenses.
Anyway, you add it up, it's a heck of a deal.
On top of the other things, they're working on the feral cat problems here. They're doing it for us.
So, so it's back to what John said. Does the council want to extend this to a three-year contract, or are you good redoing this year after year? Because you have that authority to do.
You know, I don't mind going a three-year contract, but, you know, ultimately it's up to them whether they want to do that. But they've always got the right to come back and ask council for an extension or amendment to that contract if they feel that the costs are needed and if they could justify the additional cost.
Well,
so what if they say they don't want to, okay, we don't want to do a contract, then what are we going to do?
I just don't see them doing that. But these are people who, they're pretty passionate. They intend to run, I mean, they really, if they don't take the city dogs, that's 40% of their amount of animals that they see. And this community donated to that shelter in huge amounts. I don't see that group ever saying to the city they won't do it.
But if you don't have the money to
run it,
then why would you take it? So you could go and go backwards.
Is it a not-for-profit organization that's sitting out there doing their job from funding that's coming from donations, and the donation from the city is $20,000? Is there a county donation that's also being attributed?
Yes, there is. And they get donations from private citizens. They get donations from, Ms. Rattray was mentioning how the marijuana growing operation donated money towards the old hotel. They also donated $3,000 to the shelter.
There's their income line off their budget.
Which was her point, but so they get.
Where's Adams County's contributing? The commissioners are contributing $5,000.
That's what they did last year. They've asked them for more money.
They have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't they match?
That's up to the Board of Adams County Commissioners.
Well, 50% of the animals are coming from the county.
That's a political issue, but.
I don't care. I just think it should be more that it should last for more than a year because they just keep coming back for more. And they're coming back to us because it looks like we have the deeper pockets of the groups that are available to go get money from.
Not the deeper, at least the more sympathetic. Because so, the Board of Adams County Commissioners have that kind of money as well. In fact, even more. Their budget's in the $32 million range, and ours, which, if we ever get there tonight, is going to be in the $17.5 million range. So I'm open to anything. Whatever motion you guys want has to include Kelly's change in the portion of the indemnity, which was, what was the term you used?
Concurrent.
Concurrent. Yeah, negligence. So 1 year, 3 year, what do you guys, so I need a motion.
Well, let's at least go for 2 years, this year and next year, locked in.
I think 2 years is good.
I think that's a good idea. Okay. John, you want to make that motion?
Make a motion that we amend the contract to 2 years renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And include Kelly's amendment.
The concurrent negligence.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Corey seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All right. All right, let's move on to item 4.4. No, for the record, Mark Snyder opposed the motion. Okay, so moving on to item 4.4, resolution to surplus equipment. Debbie?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We have presented a resolution to the Council for consideration, and it includes Fire equipment that has been determined to be non-usable by Adams County Fire District. All of this equipment is outdated and not working properly. Because of the condition of the equipment, it would be not beneficial for any other fire department to obtain this outdated equipment. Public Works has reviewed the list of equipment and they do not want it. So we're asking that the council approve the resolution to surplus the equipment and staff will dispose of it properly.
Thank you, Debbie. Is there any questions? Any comments, Mark or Ken? Okay, hearing none, I'd entertain that motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second to surplus city fire equipment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we'll move on to budget items. 4.5, ordinance to amend the 2015 budget. These are some cleanup items that Spencer has put together so that we can finish the year strong. Is that right, Spencer?
Yes. Yeah, we've come, it's been a long couple of months. What I have before you for tonight for your consideration and approval is a series of ordinances. I have 5 ordinances and 1 resolution that are related to cleaning up 2015 and setting the budget for the year for 2016. This first item here is a budget amendment for the 2015 year. These are things that we've been discussing throughout the year. I don't think any of the items on here are new to you. There's 2 that I don't know that we've talked about. 1 in the middle of the donations fund. We have $457 per shop with a cop and some doggy blues that were this is related to some money that was donated during the year, and this is allowing the this is making the budget reflect the council allowing the shop with a cop and the dog igloo purchases earlier on in the year. And the other one that I wanted to mention right below that is for the crime prevention fund. When we started the year, we didn't have any money for that, and this is a new fund during the year. That was a new fund that was established during the year. So we need to include those expenses in the budget so the police chief can continue with the Explorers program. Of the other items, we have the third item down, street reserve fund, $90,000. That's related to the First Avenue project. There was an additional $120,000 cost there. Ultimately, the money that we need to take from the reserve fund for that is the $90,000 there. And then the sewer fund, the very bottom, $158,000. This is to run the sewer line in conjunction with the Well 9 water line. All of the items here are items that we've factored into the 2015 budget already that we're building the 16 budget on top of. And so for your consideration and approval tonight is this amendment, this ordinance amending the 2015 budget.
Council, do you have any questions to Spencer? Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate you putting that together to finish the year strong. This time, I entertain a motion to amend the 2015 budget.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move on to item 4.6, ordinance to adopt the capital facility plan for 2016 through 2021. Spencer, you have a list of items for us.
I'm going to sit down for the rest of these because I'm just going to be on the computer the whole time. This item is the capital facility plan for the next 6-year period starting with 2016, 16 to 21. During our, I believe it was just our last meeting, we had our public hearing over the capital facility plan. We discussed the items that are in here, and again, this is something that's used by the city as a roadmap when we're creating our budget for the year and looking at needs of the city. There were a couple of changes that were proposed at that meeting, and I've made those changes at the council's direction. And at this time,
one of the attachments to this is an ordinance to approve the capital facility plan for the 16 to 21 six-year period.
Yep, thank you for putting that together. We did review this at the last regular city council meeting. Council, do you have any further questions with Spencer on our plan? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to adopt the city's capital facility plan for 2016 through 2021.
Make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 4.7, ordinance to adopt the ad valorem property tax. That's an annual exercise that the council needs to take action.
This is a number that's set up, is established, or is calculated by the county assessor. They communicate that number to us. This is the number that we've been using in our budget process for the 2016 year. It's just over $1.5 million in property tax revenues that we'd be bringing into the general fund. And this is one of those items that we have to accept by council per ordinance. And then I take that ordinance and send that back up to the assessor's office so we can then collect that money throughout the year.
Any questions, council? Okay. Go ahead, entertain a motion.
Just wondering if we can get more.
Of course.
We're working on that.
Adopt, yeah.
Angel and Olson, Pete Olson, are working on that pretty strongly.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Second.
A motion made and seconded to approve the ordinance to adopt the ad valorem property tax for 2016. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.8, utility tax ordinance.
So this is our utility tax per our municipal code. 50% of the revenues in our utility tax fund are automatically transferred to the general fund for the general needs of the city. And this is an ordinance amending that for the 2016 year, January 1 to December 31, just the 16 year. This is changing that 50% to 91% for that year, and that's based on our conversation that we had at our last meeting where I showed the utility tax dollars, the available dollars, and as a council you decided what you wanted to do with when we were funding the projects. We decided to fund some of those projects under the utility tax dollars, and this is ultimately what that percentage looks like. So it's the recommendation of staff and committee that we pass this ordinance establishing the new. Oh, there are two ordinances, sorry. This 50% is mentioned in two different places of the municipal code, so we'll have to have two separate motions.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be here in 90 years. That says general fund in 2106.
Yeah, let's go with 2016. I apologize for that.
That's good, Mark. So we do have two ordinances, utility tax ordinances, to approve tonight, as recommended by Spencer. I entertain a motion for the first one, amending OMC section 302.080.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This time I entertain a motion to temporarily amend OMC section 303060.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Our next item is 4.9, resolution to set the general fund minimum fund balance. We have major discussion on that at our last budget meeting. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, during our last budget meeting, the council discussed changing the minimum fund balance in the general fund from 500,000 to 400,000, and the attached resolution is what will enact that for us. So the recommendation now is to move to adopt the resolution.
And this was a one-year?
This is ongoing. If you want a one-year, we didn't discuss a time. During that meeting, we just discussed changing the minimum from 500 to 400. And so that's all I included in this resolution.
I think that was mainly in concert to the fact that, you know, we had to do that to balance our budget and do the things we wanted to do. And I think it was understood that it was going to be a one-year deal and that 500 was going to go back up to 500 the next year.
We can do that. If you want to do that, we can adopt this resolution with one change that is just for the 2016 year. Well, or I believe, can we pass this resolution with that one caveat?
So, say that again.
So, for the resolution, we're changing the minimum fund balance of the general fund from 500 to 400,000 just for the 2016 year.
Yeah.
And the 16 year, that one-year limitation would be done.
Correct. Yeah, you can do that.
All right, I'll move to adopt the resolution to establish the new minimum fund balance for the general fund for the year 2016.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now, we'll move to our final budget. Adopting the 2016 budget. Spencer?
Thank you very much. So this is the final hurrah here. After this, we have a budget for the 2016 year. We've had quite a couple of months here where we started with the department heads and worked our way through a whole series of council budget committee meetings where we looked at the budget line by line. We, during our last three council meetings, we've hit the budget pretty hard, looking at the available resources, what we want to do during the year, what are our priorities, and I believe that we've come up with something that is meeting the goals of the departments, the city departments, the members of the community, the city council, and ultimately this budget here is prepared based on all of those conversations, and it's ready to be passed. So the recommendation here is move to adopt the 2016 budget ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded to adopt the 2016 budget ordinance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I do want to say a couple of things about that. Again, I want to thank Spencer and all of the department heads in the city and Wade for your tremendous work on this budget. Really made it very helpful to this council. I want to thank the council because every one of you, you guys do a good job at this. And I think the city can be proud of the work that you did on this budget in properly weighing the priorities and the direction that the city needs to go in. And I think that you guys did, that the city is going in the right direction based on the decisions you made. And so I'm just very pleased with this budget and with your work on it, and just want to express my appreciation. Move to number five, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the city council tonight? Item six, is there any new business to come before the city council tonight? Okay. I also have a couple of mayor announcements. First of all, donate to our hats, mittens, scarves, Christmas tree. City Hall is taking donation for new or gently used youth hats, mittens, and scarves. These can be hung on the Christmas tree at City Hall. All the items collected will be donated to the Othello Community Christmas Basket Program on December 17th. We're going to start collecting those items now, and this will be a wonderful community program. If you have any questions, please ask Debbie Curran, our city clerk. Uh,
The next announcement is there's a Transportation Benefit District meeting, also known as the TBD, scheduled for Monday, December 7th. That's 2 weeks from tonight. And that meeting will take place at 6:30 before our regularly scheduled workshop. The purpose of that meeting is to discuss the potential for a public vote on increasing the sales tax to pay specifically for street improvements. Shop with a Cop is scheduled for Saturday, December 12th. The Christmas tree will be put up next week in City Hall lobby. That's when we will take those donations, starting next week. Then all donations taken to the fire department to be included in the Christmas baskets will be delivered Saturday, December 19th. And join our local businesses and the Chamber of Commerce this Saturday, November 28th, for the Small Business Saturday Shopathon. Part of the event will be set up in the parking lot at 455 East Cedar Street, where local home-based businesses will set up and they will offer shopping deals. There will also be various local stores participating in the event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, that's this Saturday. And they will have a shop small sign displayed so shoppers can find great deals in our community. That sounds kind of interesting. 455 East Cedar Street, I believe, isn't that at the Ashton?
Yes.
Parking lot?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You guys are going to have a booth there?
We're not going to have a booth. We actually would have a storefront, but we're going to include maybe something in a bag.
Okay. Good. So, Council, you're all invited, the public as well. Tonight, the Council is also going to receive department head reports. And with having no further business to come before the City Council, I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting at 9:06 p.m.